Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hello, and welcome back to Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. I am your host, Movie Mike, joined this week by my wife and co-host, Kelsey. How are you?
I'm great.
You ready to talk about the movies we've seen in the last 30 days?
Yeah, it just feels like, how has another month gone by? And does anyone else feel like we get to this point in the year and like time's just like flying?
It's about to just evaporate. But yes, we'll get into all of our best and worst picks of the month. In the movie review, I'll be talking about No One Will Save You, the movie that I feel like infiltrated social media and everybody was going crazy for. So I'll give you my thoughts on that movie. We'll get into the trailer park. We'll do all that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being subscribed. Shout out to the Monday Morning Movie Crew. And now, let's talk movies.
In a world where everyone and their mother has a podcast, one man stands to infiltrate the ears of listeners like never before in a movie podcast. A man with so much movie knowledge, he's basically like a walking IMDb with glasses. From the Nashville Podcast Network, this is Movie Mike's Movie Podcast.
All right, our best and worst. We'll be talking about movies that we watched in September, which overall was a pretty slow month for movies. I think out of all the months of us going to the movies this year, was probably the least amount of time we spent there.
Yeah, it's pretty slow.
I feel like it's because right at the end of summer with August, you get all the great movies, all those final summer blockbusters coming out, and then things just kind of slow down in September. It inevitably becomes a dump month, which is where studios just put out movies that aren't really anticipated to do very well. So it's kind of like a hodgepodge of here's some random movies to come out and take it for what you will.
But again, I also wonder, why put out a movie you don't think is going to do well? Are they all tax write-offs?
Maybe not do well isn't the way to put it, but it's you put it out at a time where it's less competitive.
Okay.
Because you have all the summer movies where everybody's just fighting every single weekend. And then when people go back to work, go back to school, back on a normal schedule in September, it's like, hey, let's put out some movies that we really don't have any other place in the year to put them because we already missed out on the January, February window.
Yeah, because it's weird because then you start like November.
Oh, yeah. We're about to get into some good stuff.
And then you like ramp up and then you've got Oscar contenders. Spring's a little slower and then you've got summer. So, yeah, I guess for a couple months in the spring and then like a month or so
in
the fall.
I still think my favorite time of the year is summer blockbuster season. I mean, we went to the movies so much this summer.
I love summer blockbuster season, but I also really like all the ones that come out in November, December.
Yeah, I feel like that's where the best movies come out. You get one or two like really impactful summer movies that everybody loves that I feel like this year only I guess Barbie and Oppenheimer will be probably in contention for Oscars. But yeah, in that November, December window, you get some really great ones. So we're going to talk about our best and worst of September. You want to start it off?
I can do that.
What was your best movie you saw?
Okay, well, it's actually going to be a movie that only I saw. You did not go see it with me.
Which is a rare occurrence. And I think a question I get a lot is, do you go see every single movie with me?
Unless it's scary, yeah.
And then this is the first time in a long time where you've gone to see a movie without me.
Yes, I had a friend in town And she loves like a good indie movie as well. She always goes to South By, sees all the films that come out. So we went to see Scrapper at the Belcourt. You know, my favorite place. I always give it a shout out. Not an ad. Just love it.
What is it about?
Okay, so it's about this little girl and her mom passes away and she's like living on her own, trying to raise herself. And her biological dad shows up and is back in the picture. Under hour 30. Not a huge plot line. It just was so cute and well done and heartwarming. And the actress that played the little girl was amazing. And yeah, it was just kind of the story of like young guy, not ready to be a father, dips out, the mom passes away and he's like, I guess I should step up and be a father now. And just kind of them learning to live with each other because this little girl is truly trying to raise herself.
I think the thing I love about seeing movies at the Belcourt is they always have great trailers. And great that was trailers. A trailer for when we went to go see, I believe, A Fire.
Yes.
And I knew immediately that I wanted to see that one as well, but you got to go see it without me. And I feel like that's a movie that just by the trailer, it kind of gives me that vibe of just being a really great like slice of life story.
Yes, that's a great way to describe it, slice of life.
Like just from the trailer, it kind of reminded me of like a Little Miss Sunshine or Juno. Was it anything like that?
Yeah, I would say it's in kind of the same vein of like a independent, doesn't really have a genre type movie.
I love just like classic independent movies, even if they are not cliche, but very quintessential indie movie. Like that I just love that. Those movies speak to me.
The only thing I love seeing it at the Belcourt. And it was upstairs in the screening room, which...
Oh, the really small screening room.
The really small room. The only problem is the aisles only have one way in and one way out. And there was a couple sitting on the end of an aisle. We asked to go by them. I put my stuff down and then I had to go back to go to the bathroom. And they were annoyed every time somebody got up. Like to the point where the girl sitting the furthest in would just climb over the seats because we were all scared of this couple. And I did almost pee my pants because I...
Yeah, you can't do that.
Grown woman was scared to go past them because... They just give looks. And I was like, I'm sorry, you sat on the end. What did you expect here? So I would dog off half a point for the experience for that.
Overall, what would you rate the movie?
4 out of 5 stolen bikes.
Okay. I got to see that when it comes out on streaming. My best of the last month has to be Bottoms.
So good.
It was the highest rated movie I had at a 4.5. And even thinking about it now, it still makes me laugh.
It's available to rent now and I want to watch it again.
I feel like it has a chance to become an iconic comedy.
It's so good.
Because it's, for me, it's up there on the list with like Mean Girls, Superbad, like all those type of movies that everybody just names their favorite comedies and you always have the same list. This, I feel, is a solid contender that more people need to see. And it was a little bit of a bummer that it came out at a time when the strike was still going on and they didn't fully get to promote it. And also because it is a lower budget, more independent film, I feel like that had stuff going against it as well. But now I just want everybody to see this movie and realize like there are still great comedies being made right now, which is happening less and less. So whenever one does come out, that really moves me in a way of it not only being funny, but being original, having a unique voice. I just think more people need to see this movie.
I love this movie so much that I'm going to do something. You don't even know I'm about to do this.
Okay, what is it?
Okay, so I have decided that I want people to be able to watch this movie. So when you, Mike Destro on Instagram, post your reel for the week, everyone listening, if you want a chance to watch Bottoms, comment a popcorn emoji and we will pick one random winner and we will Venmo you the money to rent this movie.
Because I love it.
So good.
I love it. So yeah, go comment on my last reel, popcorn emoji.
Popcorn emoji.
And I'll randomly pick somebody and Venmo you money to watch this movie.
Yes. We will use a random generator on the internet. It will not just be like us scrolling through with our eyes closed. We will truly randomly and we will send you the money.
All right. I like that. Giving away a movie on this week's episode. So those are our best movies. Now let's talk about some worst because since September was a slow month and Bottoms was at the top with a 4.5, I feel like we're going to have a pretty low on what the worst was of the month. So you want to kick us off? What was the worst thing you saw in the last month? And again, it doesn't have to be bad. It's just the worst because...
Okay. My least favorite, Haunting in Venice. It just follows a formula. I knew what to expect. Similar to Murder on the Nile, Death on the Orient Express, Murder on the Orient...
Reverse those. Death on the Nile, Murder on the Orient Express.
Okay, there we go.
They're so generic.
They're so generic. Yeah, it follows a formula. It is what it is.
Yeah, and I also felt like that one was just not as novel as the other two.
No.
And I think it was because it was trying to be so scary that it made all the other aspects of the movie kind of boring. And then by the time it gets to the end of it, you really don't care who did it. The reveal happens and you're like, okay, that's cool. Next thing. And also with all the other movies, there was just more action to them, especially Death on the Nile, because they stop at different locations throughout the entire movie.
Death on the Nile was so good. So I think I was expecting Haunting in Venice to be equally good. I do love Tina Fey, though.
Yeah, but even her character in the movie was...
Michelle Yeoh.
She was the best part.
She was the best part.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. It just wasn't... I guess because we had expectations going into it. Maybe if we had zero expectations, we would have enjoyed it a little bit more.
Also, I almost fell asleep. I like reclined. I pulled my hood over my eyes and I was like, all right, nap time.
For my worst of the month, since you took A Haunting in Venice.
Okay, well, you took Bottom, so.
I'm going to have to go with my Big Fat Greek Wedding 3.
I knew you were going to pick that anyways.
You did?
Yeah. You had no interest in watching the franchise anyways.
And we watched every single one. So here are my thoughts on the.
Yeah, we watched them all in a week because I tried to get you to watch the first one a year ago and 15 minutes in, you said, I'm bored. So you had to watch them all in a week.
So here's my thoughts on the entire franchise.
Hit me with it.
I thought the first one was going to be a lot better than it was.
It was great for its time. It was unexpectedly funny.
I guess that's why, because I knew the movie and was aware of it so much that I thought it was going to be like one of the best rom-coms of all time. Because just the poster of that movie is embedded in my head from seeing the DVD so much at like Hastings. That is a movie I just remember seeing and people renting and talking about so much. I thought it was going to be up there on like You've Got Mail or Sleepless in Seattle. Like those type of rom-coms is always where I put that in before even watching it. And after watching it with you, I just didn't see why it was so iconic at the time and why people love it so much. And it took me probably until the second movie to really get to enjoy the characters and understand the dynamic and understand the comedy. But I felt like between one and two, it kind of took a downturn. But surprisingly, I feel like the third one is the best of the entire franchise because you already know all these characters. The story is a lot more emotional and I feel like a lot more fun.
But you don't have the dad.
That's true.
And that's not a spoiler alert. Because it's literally in the description.
He died in real life and that's the entire premise of the movie.
He was so iconic with the Windex.
So it took me all the way to the third movie to enjoy them. So I feel like if they made another one.
I hope they don't.
You don't? Really?
No, I didn't even want a third.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I don't even know that I want a second. I really thought it was a great standalone hit. Bridesmaids. They knew they would ruin if they made another one. Sometimes things are better left at one.
It is an unexpected movie trilogy. I think that's going back to what I was saying is I didn't see how impactful the first one was to require a part two, which the story in that one I felt just wasn't the best whatsoever. There was more of a story in three and a reason to make it because of what actually happened with the actor who plays the dad in real life. So there was something there and that movie had more of a payoff than the second one.
But I guess they couldn't go from one to three because a lot of life would have happened.
Yeah, the entire timeline of the story doesn't, it jumps around.
It does.
From the other reason about the first movie is because it jumps so much from them meeting to having a kid. There's such a big of a time jump.
From the first to the second?
Yeah.
Yeah, there were like 14 years in between.
And then the next one comes and then it's like she's in college, but they like had her in the first. So it just seems like.
Yeah, that is
It's
weird.
A little bit off. Like they should have made these all into the 2000s and it probably would have been better. Maybe.
I would agree. I did love that Joey Fatone was still in it. I love his character.
I do
and
like
his sister. They're great.
I do enjoy the fact that they bring back all of the cast.
Yeah, they are really good about that.
And I think that's important to it. If they just swapped out characters or recasted characters, it would seem even more of a cash grab. But I do enjoy that fact that, A, it's all the same characters, so it kind of feels like you're growing with them.
I also feel like maybe it's different watching it as a woman because the first one is like she's approaching 30 and her dad's mm-hmm. like, Tula, you're going to be unwed spinster. You're getting so old, no children. And like, I mean, I know I'm married, but I'm about to be 30 in a few months. And I'm like, cool, 30 sounds awesome. I don't feel old, but I think, yeah, I think that's the part of it that's like makes the first one like unexpected romantic comedy is that it's not the woman putting herself in this box. Like I feel like in a lot of rom-coms, women are like, I'm going to be single forever. But in this case, it's like her Greek dad being like, you must marry and carry on the family legacy.
And it's also one of the only few movies that I know that really highlights Greek families and their culture And it is cool to watch a movie and get to know about something I really don't know a whole lot about. And coming from a Mexican background, I kind of feel like there's some similarities there as far as how close you are to your family.
Oh my God, they all live next door to each other.
Yeah, I was going to say, the whole living with each other, like in Mexican culture, it's normal to live with your parents until you're married.
I think most cultures, multi-generational homes are common, except for
American homes. It's like, hey, you're 18, get out of here. And it's weird if you are living with your parents and you're in your mid to late 20s or even 30s.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
I have cousins that didn't move out till they were in their 40s.
I joke that my youngest brother's going to be like that. He's just going to make like a little like man cave. But I also think he's going to, like, I don't know, invest in crypto.
Yeah, it's because he wants to chill forever. I do have some honorable mentions. I am going to get to the movie review, No One Will Save You, which honestly could have been my best of the month, but I want to have a full dedicated review to that.
Was that when you watched on TV?
It is.
Saturday morning?
Yeah.
I was like, doesn't sound familiar. Don't think I tuned in.
Yeah, that is a horror movie that you would not be interested in, but I'll give you my full thoughts on that here in a bit. And I did want to mention some movies that we've reviewed previously that are now available to stream that everybody needs to go see.
Theater Camp.
Theater Camp is on Hulu. And I think that is one that we both loved. And another great comedy of this
also,
year.
Also, I want to watch it again already.
And kind of like the same way that Bottoms is, it's very niche.
It's so camp, but not like in the way of like actual camp. Just like, I don't know how else to describe it.
And the
it.
Humor is a lot different in that one because it's so specific to what it's like to be a theater kid. But even if you're not, it's just a funny movie.
And I mean, I feel like if you were just a weird kid in any capacity.
I think that's why I related
it. If you were the cool popular kid, maybe you're not going to get it. But maybe you had like a secret interest in theater and you couldn't pursue it because you were the cool popular kid.
And that is a movie I would love to see a sequel to. I rarely say that. But they should make a Theater Camp too.
I would watch that. Like, the camp's been up and running again for like 2 years.
Yeah, just take exactly where it left off and start with a new one. You can introduce new cast members. There's just potential there for it to be another one.
But that kind of feels like when they started spinning off Pitch Perfect. So maybe not.
I wouldn't mind seeing it, but it probably doesn't need a sequel is the category that that movie falls into. But if you want to check that one out, it's on Hulu, which is my go-to for movies right now. Netflix is so much. Here is something that you could watch in theaters, but at home with the A-list stars, they have more of, I guess not necessarily franchises, but they feel like they're making their own franchises. But also Max, because they have all the Warner Brothers stuff, but that doesn't really feel like originals to me. It just feels like, hey, they get all the Warner Brothers on their streaming service. But the other ones to mention, Mutant Mayhem, the Ninja Turtles animated movie, is now on Paramount Plus, which was one of my favorites of the summer.
Also great. I loved it. Didn't think I would.
And you are not a Ninja Turtles fan whatsoever prior to that.
I'm not. It was the one thing I just never really got into.
And then also, The Haunted Mansion is now on Disney Plus, which was a movie that we just didn't really have anything else to go watch in theaters. Had low expectations, but it is a pretty good family Halloween movie, which the reason they put that out earlier this summer was so now that it kind of matches up with being available in October around spooky season.
Very smart of them.
And it's a weird thing for Disney to take a hit like that because they did lose some money at the box office, but now we'll maybe make it back up with people streaming it.
I loved the original Haunted Mansion.
With Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, that was also an unexpected hit. I feel like.
And I think the Disney model is changing a bit. And it feels like every time a new Disney movie comes out in theaters, it doesn't do as well as it does. But then whenever it goes on to Disney Plus, it has this whole new life. Like Elemental was their most streamed movie. But when it first came out, everybody was saying it was a flop.
Well, that's also because some of their new, I'm doing quotes, are just remakes.
Yeah. Little Mermaid got streamed a bunch too. Like millions of people.
That. You watched it without me. I think I'm going to sit that one out.
But then they also have Wish coming out later this year, which it looks so generic. And it just looks like, here's a fairy tale movie. So I feel like that's going to be the same issue there, that it's not going to do so great in theaters. People are going to complain about Disney and say they're failing, they're losing money, and then it'll come out on streaming and be their highest stream movie again.
Well, yeah, because you think about it, most parents aren't taking little kids to the movies.
Yeah.
One, it's hard to sit. I know a lot of theaters will do like a kid screening of things like on the weekends where like it's literally your kid can run around and be loud. Like that's what the screening's for, because you can't expect a small child to sit there for a couple hours and watch a movie. Also, it's expensive to go to the movies.
Yeah.
I think, and if you have multiple kids and they all want snacks and tickets.
And it's way easier to watch it on Disney Plus.
Exactly. So I think that's also why they don't do well in theaters.
I do think there needs to be more of an experience with movie theaters.
Okay.
Like you said, the kids only screenings. I also saw whenever the Paw Patrol movie came out, they had dog screenings where you could bring your dog and watch a movie.
Are you being serious right now?
Yeah, Paw Patrol had dog screening where you bring your dog.
Interesting. I would expect that for Bluey, because if Bluey came out with a movie, because Bluey is filmed in the colors that dogs can see.
Bluey has it going on. I need to watch that. I know it's a kid's show, but everybody loves it. But I just feel like adding another thing for audiences to have to go to the theater. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy, but even something like that where
the Taylor Swift concert film. I will be dressing up. I will be wearing my friendship bracelets. And I probably will be buying the exclusive popcorn bucket and cup for, you guessed it, $19.89.
Which is actually not a bad price. I've wanted to get into collecting the popcorn.
No, we don't have the space for it.
Exactly. That's why
this is special edition.
Because when you look at them, they look so cool. But then you spend, some of those get up to $40-$50.
You also don't eat popcorn. That's a lot of popcorn to expect me to eat.
But I just want the thing. I want the thing to hold it because they came out with really cool ones for like Transformers, which was...
Can you buy just the bucket, sans popcorn?
I think they have to fill it up. Oh, yeah. Whenever the Post Malone exclusive cups came to Canes, you went to get one for me.
I went out of my way.
Because there was only one that I wanted. It was the pink one with his animated character on it.
I went out of my way during lunch one day to Canes, parked, walked into Canes, smelled overwhelmingly aggressive, like fried chicken. I stand there in line, I get up there, and I just want the cup, and they're like, we can't sell it to you. You have to buy a combo. And I'm like, well, I'm not buying a $12 meal that neither one of us can eat because it's not vegan or gluten-free. So I did not get a cup, and I was very annoyed that you have to purchase the combo to then upgrade to the cup. And I'm like, can I not just buy the damn cup?
But luckily, my sister got me one. I'm looking at it right now. It's in the studio here. And also, my brother got me the Cowboys one with Post Malone. So I now have two cups. But I think you can just buy the popcorn things by themselves because a lot of people resell them online. So there were some really, like the Dark Knight, well, I guess not the Dark Knight one, but the Batman one was also really cool. But yeah, where am I going to put all this stuff? My space is already filling up here.
Popcorn container collection. But yes, I agree. There needs to be something to movie experiences. That's why I like Alamo Drafthouse when they do the like quote alongs.
I feel like directors, I saw one director recently saying that more movies need to just be made in IMAX because that's also gives you a reason to go to the theater, which if you think about our experience with going to see Oppenheimer this summer, like a large driving force of that was the fact that we saw it at one of the only 70 millimeter screenings in the entire country. And there's just something to watching something that's actually huge and that you can't have at home. Because a lot of people now have the money to replicate or get pretty close to the movie theater experience with a big screen, big sound system. You can get pretty close. And the thing has always been you go to the movies to watch them the way they were intended to. But if you're able to get that experience really close to at home, you have to take it up another level and put it in IMAX on a giant screen and even bigger sound. So I do think there is something of that, of just the filmmaking process needs to change a little bit to go back to creating something that's worthy of the big screen and not just saying, see it on the big screen. Well, give us a reason to see it on the big screen.
Or things that create such buzz and excitement that like you end up with like a packed theater. Like think about like Black Panther a lot. I'm trying to think of another one that we've seen recently.
Well, Barbie Oppenheimer. Barbie, was yes, crazy. Duh.
So like things that create buzz. I feel like that drives people to want to see it.
Which is another hard thing to do.
Yeah, the Taylor Swift one. I mean, Taylor Swift could put out a video of her reading the phone book, charge me $50 and say I could only see it in theaters. And well, I would.
Well, all right. Anything else you want to say before you go?
I was trying to think if we had any TV honorable mentions, but I feel like we've watched things separately.
I feel like I'm falling out of love with TV shows right now because we have started so many things that I haven't finished. I started One Piece on Netflix.
On my account.
And I haven't gone back to finish.
Now my Netflix thinks that I want to watch anime.
I haven't started any of the latest Star Wars series, even though people seem to enjoy them. There are so many things I have like 1-2 episodes down that I just haven't found myself going back to, like The Morning Show.
We do need to catch up on that though.
But I feel like we're going to feel the effects of the strike and things not coming out for a while.
So we'll have time
to hop back into those.
It's Gilmore Girls rewatch season. We all know. Start of fall. You just turn it on, the La 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 la.
TV wise, my go-to, speaking of TV shows from the 2000s.
Cut me off there.
My go-to has been My Name is Earl because it's old and comforting.
Oh.
And I love that show when it first came out.
It's so annoying.
It is not annoying.
It is so annoying. And every time you turn on an episode, I go in the other room.
Ding, 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 ding,
but you
ding,
only
ding.
Started on the living room TV. You always somehow claim the living room by just starting My Name is Earl, knowing I won't sit out there with you.
Mm-hmm. But that is my go-to show right now. That's the best, the worst of the month. We'll come back and talk about No One Will Save You.
La, 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 la.
We'll come back.
La, la, la.
We'll come back.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get into a spoiler-free movie review. I have been waiting to talk about No One Will Save You for so long. I watched it the very first weekend it came out, and I've been marinating with my thoughts because I'm really split on this movie. The movie is about a girl named Brynn who goes out to the home that she grew up in, and one night she gets woken up by these strange noises, and those strange noises just happen to be aliens. So it is an alien invasion thriller. Brynn is played by Caitlin Dever, who you may know from Booksmart. She was also in Ticket to Paradise last year with George Clooney and Julia Roberts, a really great young actress who I think has a lot of potential. There are so many things I love about this movie, but there are also a lot of things that I just had issues with. So let's dive into it without revealing all the details behind the plot of this movie. But essentially what you have is she goes out to this house that she grew up in, and you learn a little bit about her backstory of why she is there. And she is very much a recluse, which I really identified a lot with her character with a couple of things. One, really enjoying not being around a whole lot of people. I think if I could, if I really had the choice, and if me and my wife Kelsey weren't so used to city life at this point, I could see myself going out and living in a house like this where you're just away from everything. You have no neighbors. You walk out into your front porch and you hear nothing. That part of this movie, I just really enjoyed, just having the silence and not having to hear or see anybody, which is kind of my dream scenario. The other thing about her character and really this entire movie is there is very limited dialogue. And I think that creates a very interesting dynamic throughout this entire thing. Usually what you go to watch a movie is to hear the character speak and also see a lot of action depending on the film. But in this case, it is really all action and very, very few lines spoken throughout the entire movie. But I find that to be really powerful because a lot of the tension is implied. A lot of the scenarios you as the audience member have to really draw your own conclusions on exactly what is happening in this movie. And it makes all of her interactions with the aliens throughout this film to be that much more impactful and really creates that feeling of her being alone, which going back to the title of the movie, No One Will Save You, it very much plays into that because there is nobody around her to help her or to save her. And it makes you feel pretty helpless. And I think that is why this movie is creating a lot of buzz, because it really came out at the perfect time. With so much that has been revealed about aliens just this year, I feel they have kind of been soft launched, not only in America, but also in different parts of the country, with Mexico saying, hey, look, we have a papier-mâché alien. They exist. So I feel like right now we are all kind of itching for a movie like this. And it reminded me probably a little bit of an old Twilight Zone episode, but with a much more modern feel to it. And this movie has an interesting road of how it even came to be. The movie was directed by Brian Duffield, who it's actually his second ever feature film, but he is a known producer and writer of movies like Love and Monsters, which is a movie I just quintessentially associate with 2020. During the heat of the pandemic, when there were no movies coming out, I thought that movie was a bright spot in my year of being an actual new movie I was being able to watch at home. He was behind that one. He also produced Cocaine Bear, which came out earlier this year. And he actually wrote this movie back out in 2018. And it was actually supposed to come out earlier after 20th Century Studios bought the rights to it. But then you have a little movie come out called Nope from director Jordan Peele, which has to do with what? With aliens. And they were worried that audiences were going to find these two films to be too similar, therefore putting one against the other. Maybe you get a little alien fatigue and nobody wants to go see this movie because they just watched Nope. And really, you don't want to go against Jordan Peele because whatever he puts out is going to get way more attention and dominate at the box office. But this movie finally found its home. It's finally out, which Brian has had such an interesting career of being a writer and being a producer and really just all of his projects being so delayed with the pandemic. So it's really cool to see him now flourish as a director and have a really solid film on his hands. And an alien invasion thriller is something I didn't really know I needed in my life. As much as I love aliens and believe in them, as much as I love horror movies, I really wasn't going into this movie expecting it to have just that kind of feeling. Feels like a horror movie, but instead of a Michael Myers or Freddy Krueger type, the villain is an alien, which to me is way more haunting. I've never really seen an alien shown on screen this much. The first act was so haunting and I was immediately sucked into this movie. But as the plot developed and as we got to know more about these aliens and they had more interactions, it started to lose steam a little bit for me, especially in the third act. And I just have a thing with movies falling apart in that third act where you build up all this tension. You have me on the horror aspect. You have me on the thriller aspect. But I just really wanted this movie to bring it home in the end. It bit off a little bit more than it could chew. If they would have kept it just a little bit simpler, dumbed it down just a little bit, I felt like it went a little too meta in the third act to try and create this really broad overarching statement on exactly what happened with Caitlin Dever's character in this movie. It lost me a little bit and took away the excitement I had from the very beginning of the film and faded out there towards the end, that it almost would have been a perfect movie for me. And the way I thought about this movie is I love the buzz that it created, because this is the type of movie that you tell your friends about who want to watch a thriller because they are so fun to discuss afterwards. It reminds me of some of my favorite horror movies, or even the more recent movies like Smile that have created a buzz, Megan that have created a buzz. It has that same type of feel to it. And I wanted it, like I said earlier, to be my next favorite movie. Had all of my favorite things going for it. But it just fell off so hard and left me a little bit disappointed that I thought, this could have been it. It's kind of like if you were a coach to a football team and you had a player who was so dedicated, would show up on time. You want to put him in the game every single time for every single play, but they're just not that great at what you really need them to do. They're not going to win you the game, so you have to put in a different player. That is how I felt after watching this movie. As much as I wanted to root for it, as much as I wanted to say all good things about this movie, it just left me thinking, so close, but no cigar. Meh. Although it is one of the most dynamic movies I have seen in a long time to make such a statement, to create some really haunting and unsettling visuals, to give me the feeling that I'm watching something familiar, because it's not an unheard thing to watch an alien invasion thriller, or even one with a little bit more of a horror element to it. But it still felt novel to me, felt very fresh and new compared to everything else in this space right now. But I still think it's a movie that I still highly recommend, but know that you might not entirely love it if, one, you don't buy into the idea of aliens, two, you're kind of squeamish when it comes to any kind of horror movie. Because if you're somebody who lives alone or lives out in the country like I used to, I could see watching this movie and then having a little bit of trouble going to sleep at night, and you hear any kind of sound in the other room, it may freak you out a little bit. But it is one of those movies that you're either gonna love or you're gonna hate, but you have to really watch it and decide for yourself, because it's kind of that polarizing of a movie. I just love a movie that creates any kind of a buzz, that gets people talking, not a whole lot of marketing, really any marketing whatsoever. It just popped up on Hulu one day and I thought, I need to watch that. And then I see a lot of people now talking about it on TikTok. So for a movie to come out like that and generate this word of mouth buzz, I think that's really important. And it's going to be a significant film of the year and one that people will probably continue to discover throughout this year. And I hope, maybe not a direct sequel, but another movie similar to this. I think the director, Brian Duffield, has really found an interesting lane here, because it's not quite as cinematic as Nope, which he was worried it was going to be compared to, but it has its unique style. And even though it is a quote-unquote streaming-only movie, it doesn't really have that direct-to-video, lower-budget vibe to it. And it also just reinforces my belief that Hulu has the best original content right now with everything they are doing and all the things they are scooping up over there with 20th Century Studios. I know if I go over to there, click on their latest movie, I'm going to watch something interesting. I'm going to watch something compelling. Whether or not I love it completely is up to me, but I know that it's not just going to be like something they throw on Netflix or worse, Amazon Prime. So if you're looking for one streaming service to invest with based on original movies alone, my go-to pick is still Hulu. And for No One Will Save You, I will give it 3.5 out of 5 flying saucers.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to head down to Movie Mike's Trailer Park.
I have been waiting for the first look at the Toxic Avenger since this movie was announced. The original one came out in 1984, and it is my favorite B-horror movie of all time. What exactly is a B-horror movie? It's a movie that doesn't look that good. The actors can't really act. All of the special effects are practical effects, so they are done very cheaply. Essentially, it's just people throwing blood into a bucket and then throwing it onto the actors. So it's very low budget, very low grade, but there is a charm to that. And I think the reason I love the original so much is because as a kid, I wanted to be a director, and horror movies always just spoke to young directors because you could make them on a relatively low budget. So movies like The Toxic Avenger, or really any Troma Film, which is the company that produces Toxic Avenger movies and a lot of other very strange and weird and vile horror movies, they're the ones who told me that I could go online, figure out how to make fake blood, which I found out as a kid that corn syrup and food colorings, particularly red dye, makes a pretty convincing looking blood for a really low price. But why I love the Toxic Avenger is because he is an unlikely superhero. His origin story is that of he is a nerd who gets tricked into wearing a tutu, gets chased from a second story and falls into a pit of acid, and then turns into this disgusting superhero. And even though he has been bullied and tormented and now has his entire human state change for the worse, he still wants to help people, and he is still the hero of Tromaville. And the reason this movie has my curiosity and my interest, because normally this isn't a movie I would recommend because it is so low budget, because it is so vile. Really anything in the Troma space are some of the most disturbing movies I've ever seen, that you really have to be into some low-grade humor, into some low-grade special effects. But there are some hardcore film fans who do find the charm in these movies, and now it is getting a big studio treatment, which is unheard of, because as a part of the cast of this movie, playing the Toxic Avenger himself is the one and only Peter Dinklage, who you would know from Game of Thrones. And just his name alone being added to this movie makes me feel like it's not just going to be some rinky-dink B-horror movie. You also have Kevin Bacon and Elijah Wood, who are all a part of this cast, so I think it's going to be a very fun movie. And by the looks of this trailer, it is going to have that same campiness that they had back in the 80s. So I don't think these films are going to be for everybody, one, because they are so over the top and so disgusting, to be quite honest, but also because I feel like when movies play into the campiness, that it can turn off a lot of people of thinking this is dumb and this is cheesy. So I think it's going to be a big treat for the really hardcore fans of the original film, like myself, but hoping that the fact that actors like Elijah Wood and Kevin Bacon are attached to it, and Peter Dinklage, of course, that it will open the scope up and allow other people to enjoy the greatness that is a Toxic Avenger film. So before I get into more details, here's just a little bit of the Toxic Avenger trailer.
There are still no leads as to the identity of
the freaky folk hero remains at large. Sir, what did you see last night?
I heard gunshots, saw blood. Handsome fella had his arm tore off like wet bread, and the creature run off into the night.
The Toxic Avenger.
That's what the kids are calling him. I think it's swell.
So the trailer alone is very not safe for work. A lot of bad words, a lot of violence. But you do get the first glimpse of Peter Dinklage, who ends up becoming the Toxic Avenger. And it's still very ominous in this teaser. But it just has this very quintessential trauma vibe that I have been looking for in films. But you do get that first look of Peter Dinklage as the Toxic Avenger, and it wasn't really what I had in my mind, because it looks like they took an entirely different approach on the look of the character. And the thing I was excited to see most, because there was an image that came out recently of Elijah Wood in this movie, who looks utterly ridiculous, and he is an actor who I just feel like needs to be a part of this movie, because he takes so much pride in his roles. He is a really good character actor, and I feel a very underappreciated talent in Hollywood. He did so many great movies as a child actor, and then of course was one of the biggest movie stars on the planet as a part of the Lord of the Rings franchise. But I feel like he's been more selective in his work, and the roles he does take on are ones he has to be passionate about. But I always just see him giving 100% in every single one of his movies. So he is an actor that I pay attention to when he puts out a film. So I'm really excited to see him take on this role in this movie, which just at first look at this reminded me of the first time I saw Colin Farrell as the Penguin in The Batman, because he looks pretty unrecognizable. So what this movie is about, you have Peter Dinklage, who plays Winston, who goes on to become the Toxic Avenger. So it looks like he's going to be an older take on the character who was a teenager in the original 1984 film. He is a widower struggling to raise a stepson. And then his job gets taken over by an evil corporate jerk played by Kevin Bacon, who won't pay for their health insurance. Winston fights back and, like it happened in the original, falls into a vat of toxic waste. There is still no official release date on this movie. They're going to be showing it at some film festivals and kind of gauging audience interest. So hopefully it comes out next year. But if I had to rate my excitement level on this movie, it is at a 5. I am so excited to see this big screen adaptation, because the first movie had a budget of $500,000. $500,000! And this movie now has a far, far larger budget than that, so much more room to play around with. Although I do love those practical effects in the first one, even though they look pretty bad and sometimes hard to watch in a lot of these movies, I still believe that practical effects age better than special effects. If I go back and watch some practical effects from the 80s or even the 70s, I feel like those hold up so much more than the early days of computers, when people were still trying to figure out how to put special effects in movies. Some of that stuff just looks horrendous. But again, the movie is called The Toxic Avenger, expected to come out next year. Another thing I wanted to mention, there is no full teaser or trailer or anything attached to this one so far, but I have been loving every single image from The Joker 2, which is supposed to come out a year from now. Hopefully that's still the case. But director Todd Phillips posted an image recently of Joaquin Phoenix in the rain with these colored umbrellas around him. There's also a picture of him and Lady Gaga having this like menacing stare into each other's eyes, with the Joker's makeup like smeared all across his face. She looks great. Joaquin Phoenix looks as unstable as he did in the first one. So I feel like the sequel is going to be a lot weirder than the first one, because it is a musical, which I'm having an easier time now wrapping the thought of that around my brain as I see the images from the movie. And it reminds me of what I love the most about the first one, is that you as the viewer were questioning all the things that the Joker was going through, and whether or not they were actually happening in real life or they were all just happening in his head. So I think that movie is going to play into this as well, of maybe the more dramatic scenes and straight ahead things will be the things actually happening in real life, and then all of the over the top things that would happen in his head may be portrayed in a musical. That is what I'm taking away from just seeing the stills of this movie, because there's two different vibes. There's the more serious, gritty looks at both of the characters, and there's the others that look a little bit more like a fantasy. A really dark and twisted fantasy, but a fantasy nonetheless. So that is the first look at The Joker. Wanted to throw that into this segment.
And that was this week's edition of Movie Mike's Trailer Park.
And that is going to do it for another episode here of the podcast. But before I go, I got to give my listener shout out of the week. This week, I'm going over to my email, which you can reach me at moviemikeD@gmail.com. Got a really nice email from Michael who wrote, I am a fairly recent subscriber. I spend a lot of time in my car for work and your podcast always entertains me. Plus, it gives me a lot of insight on movies I may or may not have seen. Because of your podcast, which I learned about on The Bobby Bone Show, I've also started following you on TikTok and Facebook. I will say, to boost your ego a little, you are the only podcast I follow. Otherwise, I wouldn't even listen to a podcast. Otherwise, I wouldn't even listen to a podcast because I find them boring. I've been binging all of your shows, and the latest one I heard about was your wish to become a Rotten Tomatoes critic. I believe you do enough on your own and don't sell yourself short. Keep doing what you're doing, and you have one more faithful subscriber. I will see you later. Really appreciate that, Michael. It means the world to me that you did literally everything you could possibly do to be subscribed to the podcast, to email in, to follow me on social media. These kind of emails make my day because sometimes I feel like I do these episodes, I put them out to the world, and then I think, did that even matter? Do people even care? So if one person cares, if Michael, you are the only one, it makes doing this podcast worth it. So appreciate that. And I think I'm going to apply to Rotten Tomatoes one more time next year whenever submissions open up. And I think after that, I'm done. I may be done now. I may get to that application next year and think, I don't want to do it anymore, because it's true. The relationship I build with you guys here and my honest movie reviews means more to me than being a legit Rotten Tomatoes critic could ever be. I think at this point, it's just that I've been wanting to do it for so long, been talking about it for so long. It would just be gratifying to finally have that, but I don't long for it as much as I used to. So again, thank you, Michael, for this email. You are this week's listener of the week. Thank you listening right now to this podcast, for being subscribed, for telling a friend. And until next time, go out and watch good movies, and I will talk to you later.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.